Yeah, they're going to fit right in Texas. Bucky's, sliced beef sandwich, state-issued Cummins, dually. Three increasingly larger and louder sons trailing behind him, making sticky walking sounds. Red wife bankrupting the family via mobile game microtransactions. These are the people we want. Exactly. Exactly. Like, look at this guy. Bro.
And the South African government and refugee advocates are rebuking the Trump administration for welcoming 59 white South Africans as refugees. The president told...
I love this story. I do have to mention a couple things here, okay? I briefly talked about this, like, yesterday and day prior. Number one, I don't care that we are bringing in, white farmers from South Africa. I think it's so marginal. It's so silly. It's not significant. I do, however, know exactly why the administration is doing this. It's to basically give a nod to the white nationalists to say, like, yeah, white genocide is happening. What's really funny about this also is that white people in South Africa live a pretty good life, as opposed to the experiences that they will enjoy here in the United States of America with no social safety nets whatsoever and an affordability crisis that they're now facing. I think it's really funny, and they will most likely turn back and go to South Africa. So that's one part of this. They'll go back to the genocidal state of South Africa that's doing a white genocide, right? Like, if we were to take it seriously. A couple points to touch on here. One, white genocide is not real. It's not happening. It's not happening in South Africa. It's just a white nationalist dog whistle. It's not real at all. It's so not real that, like, Elon Musk seemingly tried to change the output of Grok, it's his own AI on Twitter, to say otherwise, and completely bricked his own AI and had to stop it for a little bit yesterday when people figured it out.
Democracy depends on a free press. Please support our independent
journalism. Let's start with democracy now.
The United States Monday, after being granted refugee status. Afrikaners are the white South Africans who ruled the country during apartheid. This comes as the Trump administration has suspended refugee resettlement for almost everyone else in the world. Speaking Monday, Trump claimed white South Africa...
I guess the you're wrong argument is about accepting racist Afrikaners. Like, yeah, it's performative, but I guess it can be used to have a point of reference on immigration that the U.S. considers acceptable and challenge it on race discrimination grounds. Oh, no, I'm gonna bring that up. Hold on. I'm going to get to it. I'm saying in the grand scheme of things, it's ultimately utterly inconsequential. But what is actually consequential about it is what the government is signaling.
Africans face racial discrimination, even though the country's white minority still owns the vast majority of farmland decades after the end of apartheid rule. Trump said he's...
Look at these boars. They're cheeseburger hogs already. No, they are so perfect. When the Trump administration has a unique moments of honesty, well, I guess it's not so unique. They're openly racist usually. And say things like, well, these guys actually are the exact kind of refugees that we want in this country because they are they're perfectly accepting of American culture. They're not wrong. It's just more so a self-own when you say that. Yeah, they brought in dudes that are virtually indistinguishable from the racist American fat hogs that you see at Walmart on a regular basis. Their opinions also resemble the racist, heart-diseased AmeriFats. So it's perfect. It's perfect in that regard, you know? It's an indictment on American culture, not an indictment on anything else.
It's allowing them to come to the United States to escape, quote, genocide.
It's a genocide that's taking place that you people don't want to write about, but it's a terrible thing that's taking place, and farmers are being killed. They happen to be white. But whether they're white or black makes no difference to me. But white farmers are being brutally killed and their land is being confiscated in South Africa.
On Monday, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa refuted Trump's claims that white people are being persecuted in his country, calling it, quote, a completely false narrative. On Tuesday, Ramaphosa recounted a conversation he'd had with Trump about the situation in his country.
We're the only country on the continent where the colonizers came to stay, and we have never driven them out of our country. So they are staying, and they're making great progress. It's a fringe grouping that does not have a lot of support, that is anti-transformation and anti-change, that would actually prefer to see South Africa going back to apartheid type of policies.
This comes as South African-born Trump advisor and multi-billionaire Elon Musk has also accused South Africa's government of promoting what he calls white genocide. Musk's grandfather moved his family to South Africa after embracing the country's apartheid system.
You don't think this was an Elon request? No, I think it is. It certainly is.
This accusation of white genocide emanating from the White House is a conspiracy theory and a myth that has been floating around echo chambers of right-wing populists and white nationalists for many decades now, particularly within the online space. And it essentially holds the accusation that whites are that.
This is literally Lauren Southern, you know, narratives that neo-Nazis were trying to advance under the first Trump term have now become official state-sanctioned policy, which, of course, is incredibly scary in its own right and should not be cast aside. It's just that, like, the impact of said policy is utterly inconsequential. But that doesn't mean that this isn't the state trying to legitimize a completely made-up white nationalist conspiracy. And it's particularly insane to do it at a time when the American state is doing a genocide in Gaza. Part of this also, this is twofold. Part of it is to also punish the state that actually called into question America's vehicle of doing genocide in Gaza. South Africa, as you guys know, launched the International Criminal Justice Court case against Israel conducting a genocide. So this is supposed to be like some kind of at the global stage from the United States of America, utilizing the influence that it or the remaining influence that it has on the international stage. But of course, I don't think it's consequential or serious because no one believes this bullshit. The only people that believe this bullshit are motivated to believe this bullshit because they themselves are f-ing white nationalists.
Africans in particular, Afrikaans, South Africans are victims of deliberate, direct, state-sanctioned violence. And anyone who lives in this country, who's awake to the reality of this country, the inequality, the poverty, the unemployment that most Black South Africans have to endure, and including Indian and colored South Africans as well, knows that it's patently untrue. And the truth, however, is irrelevant to those who are perpetuating this myth. What matters is that it's a means through which you can mobilize anxiety, mobilize fear, and then appeal to a base within the MAGA movements in the US as well, to portray the Donald Trump presidency as essentially being a crusader to defend white civilization, both in the USA and here. And this all began initially with the signing by the president, Ramaphosa, of the Expropriation Act, which essentially changes the criteria through which government can expropriate private property for the public good and for the public use, on the basis of finding just and equitable compensation. But for Elon Musk and for Donald Trump, it's doing what right-wing populism, what racial ideologies always function to do, which is to stoke fear, conflict, and division in order to be able to protect the exploitative and unequal relations under South Africa's neoliberal capitalism, and I think under the neoliberal order that we have more broadly.
The biggest L in post-apartheid South Africa was dropping the revolutionary socialist principles that the ANC operated off of, that did not engage in restorative justice when it came to the economic inequalities. And these economic inequalities persisted in South Africa, which created a de facto apartheid state from the basis of the improvement of Black people's lives in South Africa. There was no economic change. Now, of course, there's reasons for why this didn't happen. Obviously, they were like, come on, we gave you your rights. Shut the fuck up. America is no stranger to undermining reconstruction, considering that they undermine America, the federal government undermined its own efforts of finding a peaceable solution to the system of slavery that existed, chattel slavery that existed, and very quickly took on efforts to restore the previous racial hierarchies by unleashing the Klan, for example, and destroying any kind of economic restitution opportunities for black people that were newly freed. So a similar issue took place in post-apartheid South Africa.
It was in a 1913 law that gave over 90% of South Africa's land to whites. Today, they are some 7% of the population are white South Africans, but they still own about half, 50% of the country's land. Afrikaners, who constitute the majority of the white population, are among, of course, the most successful and richest in South Africa. So if you could explain, Andile, how has this news, Trump's statement, the fact that these 59 people have now arrived?
Post-apartheid South African conditions for black people and white people resembles America so perfectly, because if I'm not mistaken, I think every single person that was the wealthiest in South Africa in apartheid South Africa were white. And then post-apartheid South Africa, there was one black guy, and then the rest are still white. And the material circumstances of black South Africans did not change. Like, they had more civil liberties, but ultimately they were still living in dire poverty. So all it did was uplift, I guess, one dude, and then that's it. And I don't mean literally only one guy, but it creates this false reality that the end of the apartheid brought about complete black liberation, where, yeah, sure, some black people were now allowed to be elevated into the capital owning class, and yet the same system of discrimination changed hands from direct de jure discrimination of black people to a de facto discrimination of black people from the point of class.
Actually, these little group of so-called refugees are pawns in a much larger political campaign, a campaign both domestically in the U.S., where Trump is using them as, as pawns, as props in a campaign that purports to promote whiteness and whiteness under threat, and also geopolitically in his executive order, which granted this refugee status to Afrikaners, it was juxtaposed very closely with criticism of South Africa for taking Israel to the ICJ. So this can clearly...
Dude, it's nuts. Like, I feel like Israeli interests are so pervasive in every orifice of American policy, especially foreign policy, that sometimes I feel like I'm going crazy when analyzing these situations. Like, as I told you, this guy is right. Send ANC to Mars. Elon, thank you, Trump. No to land and property expropriation with their compensation. Please stop legalized racism. Send ANC to Mars.
Also be seen as a message to South Africa to punish them for their stance on Israel and Israel's war on Gaza and the U.S.'s involvement and support of that war.
Yeah, we got a shipment of racist-ass token whites, self-selected. I'm going to talk about one of them. Charl Kleinhaus.
What's striking here is that a legal process and a democratic state has established this right in law in South Africa. It is comparable to similar legislation around the world, and it has not yet been used. So it's entirely incorrect when President Trump characterizes this as a process of stealing land from white people or confiscating land. So there's a serious problem of misrepresentation of what the law is actually for. And I think that this has fed into a response in which an attempt to start to take steps towards redressing racial inequality.
Wait, the people saying this is the bare minimum and whites are losing their minds, that's not even correct. As far as I understand, even most white South Africans don't give a shit about this. This is a select few white South Africans that are the farm owners. Like, it's a handful. It is a marginal movement that has turned into this, like even right-wing South Africans, I don't think, or white right-wing South Africans care that much. Like, they don't. This is just like a tiny, minuscule, incredibly small, very fringe group of people. I'm not saying this to defend white South Africans at all, even though, you know, little bears in the chat. It's just, how do I describe it? It's like such a tiny percentage. It's not even the same as, like, the initiatives against, like, Cubans after the Cuban Revolution That's not, it's not even comparable, because the numbers were far larger even after the Cuban Revolution of people that had experienced discontent, because the Cuban Revolution was a full-blown revolution, whereas the South African abolition of apartheid was not. That's precisely the reason why for 30 fucking years they've been trying to enforce the constitutional rights afforded to Black South Africans in the aftermath of the dissolution of the apartheid. You're saying it's a class issue masquerading as racial injustice, which is the oldest trick in the book? Yes, but even then, I think this moment of recognition from the American state is perhaps the biggest opportunity for this movement to grow, because up until this moment, it was just relegated exclusively to white nationalist neo-Nazis trying to create this notion that, like, white genocide was taking place.
From colonialism and from apartheid is seen as unfair discrimination. This is a narrative that has been promoted around this issue.
You say the law mostly clarifies powers the government already had for decades. What do you mean by that?
So the constitution that was adopted in the Mandela years in 1996 said that the state must redistribute land and restore it to Black South Africans who were unfairly dispossessed during apartheid. That process has been very slow. And up to now, the South African government has gone to landowners and offered to buy out property at market prices, even though the constitution clarified that it could expropriate where needed. This current new law says that where it is unable to acquire land through other means, the state may take the property in question, a claimed farm, for instance, or a portion of a farm, and if the owner is not willing to sell at market price, it may expropriate that. And it should pay compensation that a court deems is just and fair, which may or may not be at market price. So it is taking a constitutional right and it's operationalizing it in law. And what this means is that in the future, the state could choose to depart from the norm of paying market level compensation. It hasn't happened yet.
So why do we now have these dozens coming over here claiming to be refugees?
Dozens.
President Trump is calling this process racial persecution. He also says there's race-based genocide in South Africa because of this law. What's your response to that?
It's entirely fallacious. There is no data to back up the claim that there is a white genocide underway in South Africa. Last year, in the first 9 months, there were 19,000 murders, of which...
Bro, this is how you know. This is how you know. Bringing it back to Israel, but like, this is how you know. In the United States of America, if you defend Israel, you are classified as white. And certainly a bunch of Jewish people that also defend Israel would be classified under white. Because in the eyes of white supremacists, your personal feelings being hurt in the interest of like starting the conversation of reparations that are long overdue is akin to genocide. Like, that's it. These guys are literally saying like, no, this is a genocide because like, the government wants to give me market rate for my farmland so they can engage in redistributive policies. Even the legal action that they're taking that is constitutionally the right, that in and of itself is considered genocide. Ending the lives and livelihood of virtually every single Palestinian, on the other hand, that's nothing. That's just like righteous. That's happening. And it's good that it's happening. And you better not call it genocide, because if you do, that's actually like a genocide to me, a guy who wants to defend this position without any sort of scrutiny whatsoever. I'm not super familiar with the Zimbabwe land reforms, but in theory, if they were to like win a war, let's say, against the colonial apparatus, then it is their right to do whatever the they want with the land. Of course, they've been punished relentlessly for that crime, as Haiti was as well. And therefore, people love pointing to like the current living circumstances of Zimbabwe to be like, see, this is what happens when white people exchange hands and give ownership over stolen land back to Black people.
Many are concerned that this could be a land grab situation similar to that which played out in Zimbabwe. But some legal experts say the situation in South Africa is different.
That was when Zimbabwe felt that the compensation that was asked for in terms of the Lancaster Agreement needed to be paid in pounds. Interest rates were high and so forth. So the Zimbabwe scenario happened when people got really impatient, when that agreement was not fulfilled, and that's when people took the law into their own hands. Here we have a very different scenario. This Expropriation Act is part and parcel of the Constitution. It's legislated. It gives the procedural way in which governments can expropriate. So government can't just take land.
But at the end of the day, every single cruel action taken against countries that have been able to successfully win back their own land is met with a series of sanctions and unimaginable amounts of punishment.
Only 50 took place on farms, and most of the data shows that less than 10% of the murders on farms were of white landowners. The vast majority of those murders were of poor black farm workers. So, you know, there is this narrative. It's not the first time it has been promoted. South African right-wing organizations are very well networked with similar organizations in the US, in Australia, in parts of Europe, and have promoted this idea that white Afrikaners are subject to persecution. As you can see from the images scrolling right now, these are people who are mostly middle class or lower middle class, who have not had their lives directly threatened. You know, it's in many cases, in many senses, you know, what is happening here is an existing privileged group within South Africa is claiming a need for asylum status in the US. It's become the laughing stock of South Africa. Online memes are going mad.
Yeah, everyone is making fun of the Boers that came in because they're hilarious. They are such perfect American piglets, dude. And part of what I wanted to talk about, and the reason why I'm like, well, this is not necessarily the worst thing to happen to South Africa. Like, can you imagine if some other country took some of our most annoying white supremacist hogs? Like, if Canada tomorrow was like, oh, we're offering safe haven to all of the American neo-Nazis, I'm sorry, I wouldn't be too upset. Like, especially if there was a constitutional, if there was a constitutional clause that dictated that like 40 acres and a mule would be taken from historic slaver families and given to black people in this country. And then those historic slaver families and neo-Nazis that were very frustrated about this reality were like, well, we're going to leave then. I wouldn't be fucking holding my breath. You know, I wouldn't be like, no, don't do that. I'd be like, yeah, great. Go to Canada. Fucking awesome. Of course, this is not comparable because there are far more American neo-Nazis and American historic slaver families are far larger in numbers than the amount of white South Africans who are complaining about this constitutionally protected right. That's the reason why the total amount of refugees that have come in so far is 59. Yeah, everybody's dunking on the Afrikaners because, like, it's literally the same. If our hogs were going to Canada because they were claiming that they were being oppressed because there's like black people around, like what kind of commentary would you have, right? You would make fun of them. You'd be like, oh, look at these fucking idiots. They're leaving. Like, I would celebrate that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, they're going to fit right in Texas. Bucky, sliced beef sandwich, state issued Cummins, dually, three increasingly larger and louder sons trailing behind him, making sticky walking sounds, red wife bankrupting the family via mobile game microtransactions. These are the people we want. Exactly. Exactly. Like, look at this guy. Bro. Bro. Dude, it is so funny to be like, these guys are experiencing genocide. Yeah, maybe because he ate all the neighbor's food, dog. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, turns out he was eating everyone else in the neighborhood's fucking grain supply, dude. What do you mean? Turns out he's an oppressed refugee who owns a granite mine. This is Charles Kleinhaus, granite mine director, South Africa. Afrikaner, you know what's really funny about this South African refugee that is escaping a fucking genocide, owner of a goddamn granite mine? Here is what this South African's takes were. Remember when the Trump administration was saying, like, the Department of Homeland Security is going to stop scary ideas from crossing the border? And then they had to delete that tweet because everyone was like, what the fuck do you mean you're going to stop ideas from crossing the border? Ironic, by the way, because, you know, they certainly are prosecuting ideas, or trying to, as we all know from the events that unfolded in the past couple of days. But the Trump administration has started the process of looking at the social media profiles of the people that are letting into the country and trying to use anti-Semitism as a cudgel. Like, if you say anything pro-Palestinian, you're branded as an anti-Semite, you're branded as a dangerous person, and you're not allowed into the country. Whereas it seems like, I guess, I guess they just didn't look at this guy's social media profile. Here it is, Aaron Reichlin Melnick. Wow, the Trump admin said they will review social media and deny immigration benefits to people saying anti-Semitic claims. They're even trying to deport people with green cards on alleged claims of anti-Semitism. Anyway, here's a tweet from an Afrikaner. They flew here on Monday. I'm going to try to do my best South African accent here, okay? I can't do it. I wish I could do a better South African accent. The only time I'm ever oppressed as a white South African is when Assange has to do a South African accent. Jews are untrustworthy. and a dangerous group. They are not God's chosen. No, that's awful. That's awful. I can't do it. They're not God's chosen like they believe they are. Where is the temple that must be their concern? Leave us alone. We all believe in God of Abraham, Moses, and Jacob. I almost said something ugly. ...
We're anti-Semitic. Yeah. They said Jews are dangerous people. They're untrustworthy. They're not God's chosen people.
Super angry, dude.
So you did it out of anger?
Yeah. And I was in hospital at that point of time. I was on morphine. But that's not an excuse.
Drugs I'm not trying to make an excuse.
Even now, if I would see any person going against my religion, I will speak up against it.
Now, don't worry, Berman Jewish Data Bank peruser, who I saw this at first, because, by the way, that person deleted the profile. Don't worry. We identified that he actually is a good type of anti-Semite. God will save Israel. He always has. Jews are unsavory and untrustworthy. Okay, they're agents of Satan, but also God will save Israel. He always has. This man, I'm sorry, is the perfect Amerifat. This man was ordained by God to live in Dallas. You can never tell me that this is not already an American. He just happened to be born in a f-ing different country. This is literally verbatim the average Dallas, Texas mega church attendee on any given f-ing Sunday, who drives his lifted pickup truck to the parking lot of the Dallas megachurch, and in you look at his pickup truck, and in the back it has truck nuts, and on the one side a Blue Lives Matter sticker, and on the other side a Save Israel sticker. And you're like, how the fuck did this happen? I heard you say Jews have horns and tails, but you love Israel, because that is how evangelical Zionism works. This man was destined to live in the United States of America. We are betraying his God-given right to live on U.S. soil. It does not matter if he's brought here, exported as a pawn to claim that South Africa is doing a genocide against white people or whatever. This man had to live in America. He was, yes, assigned American at birth.
Yeah, instead of driving a Toyota Hilux or a Ford Ranger, he'd be driving a lifted Chevy Silverado, 2500, averaging 12 miles per gallon.
Also, I love the first tweet because he's like, I almost said something ugly. Bro, you said Jews are untrustworthy. What more? Like, what do you mean? I almost said something ugly. Yeah, white South Africans granted refugee status by Trump. We are very conservative people. I doubt that we will vote anything else than Republican Party. We are also trying to keep the bobble in our schools and stop this wokeness problem. And we want to contribute in such a way that America would just want more Afrikaners to come over. In South Africa, they hate white people even if you're born here and your parents. And it is part of the same continent as Israel. Another farm attack. They put his face in hot water. It's happening in South Africa. Kill the Boer, kill the farmer. It's happening in South Africa. But yeah, don't worry. He is deeply anti-Semitic, deeply anti-woke, and also simultaneously, he is very pro-Israel. An introductory guide into HAARP and global weather modification. He believes in the weather machine. Here's what the gentleman posted on October 7th. If you were a Harvard or Columbia student, he'd be in an ICE prison in Louisiana. Clash between Palestinians and Israeli forces in East Jerusalem. Jews spitting on Christians.
Am Israel high? But also,
oh, it's so good. Pro-Israel, anti-Semitic, anti-woke.
You say you're not a racist white
person. No, not at all. I've got many black friends. I think I've got more African black men as friends, as white friends.
Believes in conspiracy theories. Tell me this motherfucker wasn't ordained by God to live in a Dallas-Fort Worth suburb. Tell me a lie. He is perfect. Oh, my God.